Will you please welcome Doc Watson?
Doc Watson is one of America's best-known folk artists. The guitarist, banjoist, and singer, blind since childhood, grew up in the mountains of North Carolina. Now 79 years old, he still records and performs across the country. I spoke with him a few weeks ago at a club called the Birchmere in Alexandria, Virginia, and asked him about his different guitar styles.
Well, if you want to call them styles, people ask me, how did you develop your style? Well, you don't really think about developing a style. It just happens as you go along.
Can you demonstrate how you move from one style to another?
Maybe. Let's see if I can. That's always the hardest part of an interview. I'll put the thumb pick on and show you maybe how I sounded when I was about to get started out on the Carter family style. Just as awkward. If I did that with a flat pick, it'd be a lot cleaner. I sounded just about like that when I was learning that. And to finger pick that the way I do it now, I'm on the same tune, Sunny Side of Life. That's the parts of the finger style. Then on the flat picking style, we called them a straight pick back then. My notion for learning the licks that Jimmy Rogers played, the Blue Yodeler. A fiddle tune would be played sort of in that style.
You had to learn to play fiddle tunes on a guitar because you were in a band that didn't have a fiddle.
One of the first things I learned to play successfully that was a fiddle tune was Black Mountain Rag.
It's not possible to do what you just did.
Yeah, it is. You pick up and down, and when you're learning to flat pick, you learn to play the strokes even. You know, or cross pick. That's what they call syncopated licks. And all of this I had to learn by ear. I never took any formal lessons from anybody.
But you had an electric rockabilly period, too, didn't you?
Well, it was a local dance band. They didn't have a fiddler in the band the most of the time, and I talked an old boy into letting me pay small payments on one of those Les Paul guitars. One of the first ones they built, and the strings went under the trapeze-type bridge. And I hated the thing, and I got me a regular bridge and a regular tailpiece to go on that thing and fixed it so I could pick it.
Watson was discovered by folk and bluegrass enthusiast Ralph Rinsler, then assistant secretary at the Smithsonian Institution. Rinsler was in North Carolina to record banjoist Clarence Ashley, who introduced him to Doc Watson. Rinsler initially was put off by Doc's electric guitar.
Ralph didn't know hardly what to think about that. He didn't object too bad after he heard what we did. Then he heard me play the banjo some.
And he sent you out to the coffee houses and the campuses in Yankee Land.
Well, I was skeptical. I said, Ralph, people ain't going to sit and listen to me play this old-time stuff. And, yeah, they will, too. I said, well, I'll try it. He said, now, you got something to offer in the way of entertainment and the folk revival. We want to get you out there and get you heard. So, oh, Bob, you wouldn't believe the lonesome trips I did on that old big trailways bus all the way to New York by myself.
In 1964, Watson began performing with his son Merle, also an accomplished guitarist. They recorded together and performed worldwide with concerts in Africa, Japan, Europe. Doc Watson says they worked together more as friends than as father and son. Merle was killed in a tractor accident at his home in 1985.
You kind of shut it down for a time after he died, right? What brought
you? A very short time.
What brought you out of that?
Let me, if you don't mind, if we have time on this, let me go into a little detail on this. I'm still thankful for what happened. I called the agent, Mitchell Greenhill, and told him that he could cancel what was booked, or that I'd quit. I just couldn't do it. And Penn State was the last one on that little tour we had set up. And the night between Merle's accident, it was the night before his funeral. I dreamed that I was in a desert-like place, so hot that I couldn't breathe, and it was like quicksand is up to my waist, and I couldn't move. And that big old strong hand come back and grabbed my hand and said, come on, Dad, you can make it. And he got me out of whatever kind of a thing I was in, out to where it was cool. It was sunshine, but it was cool. And I waked up, and I thanked the Lord that he sent him. I said, I guess I better provide for my family, son. I said it out loud. And I called Mitchell and told him to reinstate Penn State, that I'd try to hold up and do that one.
When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the world is tossing me like a ship upon the sea. Thou who rules the winds and waters, stand by me.
We're at another revival of traditional music. This thing goes in cycles, it seems. I just want to know what you make of it.
You know, I'm really surprised, I'll put it this way, with the upsurge in interest in music because of the Oh Brother, Where Art Thou thing. But I'm thankful for it. Every time there's the interest is rekindled. I think, well, as long as I keep playing, it won't hurt me none.
Thank you, Doc. That was great.
And thank you, Bob.
Doc Watson performing with Jack Lawrence at the Birchmere in Alexandria, Virginia. His most recent recording is Legacy, and he'll be appearing in concert at Doc Watson Appreciation Day in Boone, North Carolina on July 12th and 13th.